From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia encouraged the UN to respond to world challenges. European Union and ASEAN launched redevelopment cooperation projects. Now the news in details. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi as the main speaker in the webinar with the theme 75 Years of UN Critical Reflections Thursday in Jakarta said that the COVID-19 pandemic must open the eyes of all countries to promote togetherness and promote collaboration encouraged by the United Nations. At the age of 75, according to Retno, the UN must be able to manage and respond to world demands. One of them is in supporting efforts to mitigate pandemics and the socio-economic impacts of pandemics. In the short term, the UN must support the efforts of the international community in overcoming the pandemic and its socio-economic impacts. This includes access to medicine and vaccines for all. In the long term, the UN must be able to help improve global health governance, including efforts to prevent future pandemics. Furthermore, Retno Marsudi also reminded the UN to be able to anticipate various challenges in the world in the future. According to her, the challenges of the future world will not be lighter than today. This means that the United Nations must move not only based on current condition, but also be able to anticipate future dynamics. The UN's earliest warning function should be strengthened, especially for non-traditional challenges and emerging issues. These anticipatory steps must be accompanied by innovation so that the UN system and performance do not lag behind the challenges faced. Retno Marsudi hopes that the UN can work by prioritizing the development of its member countries. She said the UN risks losing the world's faith in multilateralism if it is unable to respond to global challenges. The Vietnamese embassy in Jakarta and the Indonesian embassy in Hanoi in July 2020 jointly organized a local competition to celebrate the 65th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations between Vietnam and Indonesia. The release from the Vietnamese embassy received by Voice of Indonesia on Thursday, August 13, said that the local competition was held to raise awareness among the general public, both in Vietnam and Indonesia, about the diplomatic relations that have been nurtured and developed by leaders and peoples of the two countries since 30th of December 1955. The competition attracted 772 entries from all over Vietnam and Indonesia. In this regard, the Vietnamese embassy in Jakarta and the Indonesian embassy in Hanoi jointly announced that the logo designed by Tran Huai Doc from Vietnam was chosen as the winner of the competition. The winner will receive the prize of $500. The Vietnamese embassy in Jakarta and the Indonesian embassy in Hanoi have also chosen for logo designs that will receive the consolations prize of $100 each. The list of four consolation prize winners will be announced during the awarding ceremony that will be held both online and at the Vietnamese embassy on August 19, 2020 in Jakarta. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The European Union ambassador to Asian, Igor Dismens, launched three new development cooperation projects between the European Union and Asian worth 13 million euros. These projects will be support urbanization and sustainable forest management, as well as the Asian Supreme Audit Institute. In a virtual press conference on the occasion of the Asian European Union Cooperation and Scholarships Day in Jakarta on Thursday, Igor Dismens said, "The European Union is a very important partner of Asian in development cooperation." He added that the European Union has provided support to the Asian region by providing funds of 250 million euros for regional integration programs from 2014 to 2020. Now, the European Union announced the launching of three new European Union-Asian cooperation.
And I'm very happy to announce today that we are launching another three projects this year. The first one is the Smart Green Cities program of 5 million euro, which will promote sustainable urbanization in several ASEAN cities and promote exchanges and smart solutions within ASEAN and with the European Union. Secondly, the ASEAN Forest Governance Support Program of 5 million euro, which will support sustainable forest governance and management across the region and work on processes for sustainable timber licensing and trade in ASEAN member states. Thirdly, the ASEAN Supreme Audit Institutions Program, 3 million euro, which will enhance exchange and capacity building for supreme audit institutions in the region and increase harmonization and transparency.
The European Union Ambassador to Asian, Igor Dismens, hoped that with this launch, the European Union and Asian will show a strong commitment to enhancing partnerships and cooperation despite the coronavirus pandemic. The World Health Organization said on Thursday, August 13, it saw no evidence of coronavirus being spread by food or packaging and urged people not to be afraid of the virus entering the food chain. WHO Head of Emergency Program Mike Ryan told a briefing in Geneva that people should not fear food or food packaging or processing or delivery food. There is no evidence that food or the food chain is participating in transmission of this virus. People should feel comfortable and safe. WHO epidemiologist Maria van Kerkhove said China had tested hundreds of thousands of packages and found very few, less than 10, proving positive for the virus. Earlier, two cities in China said they had found traces of the coronavirus in imported frozen chicken wings from Brazil and on an outer packaging of frozen Ecuadorian shrimp, raising fears that contaminated food shipments might cause a new break. Israel and the United Arab Emirates announced on Thursday that they will normalize diplomatic ties and forge a broad new relationship, a move that reshapes the order of Middle East politics from the Palestinian issues to the fight against Iran. Under the accord, which U.S. President Donald Trump helped broker, Israel agreed to suspend its planned annexation of areas of the occupied West Bank. It also firms up opposition to regional power Iran, which the United Arab Emirates, Israel, and the United States view as the main threat in the conflict-riven Middle East. Israel had signed peace agreement with Egypt in 1979 and Jordan in 1994, but the United Arab Emirates, along with most other Arab nations, did not recognize Israel and had no formal diplomatic or economic relation with it until now. It became the first Gulf Arab country to reach such a deal with the Jewish state. France on Thursday prepared to beef up its military presence in the Mediterranean as tensions rose, prompting Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan to warn of a heavy price if a Turkish ship exploring for gas in disputed waters in attack. Tensions between Paris and Ankara increased with the latest French announcement linked to an escalating row in the eastern Mediterranean between Turkey and Greece over gas reserves. France criticized its NATO ally Turkey over a drone strike this week in northern Iraq, while Erdogan accused French counterpart Emmanuel Macron of seeking to bring back a colonialist structures as he visited Lebanon after last week's catastrophic Beirut explosions. The United States, meanwhile, called for a rapprochement, describing France and Turkey as incredibly important NATO allies. Kamala Harris joins Bernie Sumter's Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden on the campaign trail for the second time in the 2 days on Thursday in an appearance that will focus on hammering President Donald Trump's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Biden and Harris will receive a briefing on COVID-19 from public health experts and then deliver speeches in Biden's hometowns of Wilmington, Delaware. The remarks will illustrate the campaign's role for Harris, the first black woman and Asian American on a major party U.S. presidential ticket. Rather than being tied to any specific target demographic groups, Harris will have three roles to play as a campaign spokeswoman, energizing people to vote and volunteer, outlining Biden's policy visions, and prosecuting the case against Trump, according to a person familiar with the strategy. The former prosecutor is expected to focus on Trump's response to the crisis, which has been an effective political argument against Trump for Biden so far. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nico Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling French-Turkish Conflict Heating Up. French President Emmanuel Macron will increase his country's military presence in the East Mediterranean. Macron's intention is a reaction to the activities carried out by Turkey in the region. He called for Turkey to stop oil and gas exploration in the waters disputed with Greece. It was reported on the French 24 page that President Macron voiced concern over the unilateral exploration carried out by Turkey during a telephone conversation with Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis. According to President Macron, peaceful dialogue should be pursued to reduce tensions and resolve disputes. Otherwise, he will temporarily strengthen his military presence in the East Mediterranean. He further stated that his military will be assigned to monitor the situation there as signs of French determination to uphold international law. Tensions in the Mediterranean have escalated after Turkey sent a seismic research vessels or agrees to the region this week. Turkey is the guarantor country of Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus. The country has consistently opposed the unilateral drilling by the Greek Cypriot government in the East Mediterranean. Ankara insists that the TRNC also has rights to the resources in the area. In 1974, after a coup aimed at taking Cyprus by Greece, Ankara had to intervene as a guarantor force. In 1983, the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus was founded. The decades have seen several attempts to resolve the Cyprus dispute, all ending in failure. Both France and Turkey are members of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. As fellow NATO members, both countries should be able to solve their problems well so that a more serious conflict can be avoided. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nico Kusumawati.
Namaste. I am Pradeep Kumar Rawat, Ambassador of India to Indonesia. I convey best wishes and greetings to the friendly people of Indonesia on the 75th Independence Day. Salamat Hari Kemerdekaan. India has just celebrated its Independence Day on 15th August. As our two democratic nations celebrate our national days, I wish that India-Indonesia comprehensive strategic partnership will grow from strength to strength for mutual benefit of our two peoples. I believe that a strong India-Indonesia partnership is a pillar of strength for regional peace, security, and economic prosperity.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, The Government Encourages Local Fruit Export for Economic Recovery. The Indonesian government launched the 5th National Fruit Program with the theme Indonesian Fruit Consumption Movement as a campaign to encourage people to consume local fruits. This program also aims to reduce the consumption of imported fruit. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto said, at the launch of the program in Jakarta on Monday, August 10, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto at the launch of the program in Jakarta Monday, August 10, said that the government encouraged the Indonesian local fruits to become a major player in the domestic fruit market as well as to increase export as one of the steps to promote national economic recovery. Minister Erlangga Hartarto explained, the 5th National Fruit Program is expected to explore the business potential of local fruit commodities from Indonesian archipelago. The event, which is part of the Proud Indonesia Made movement, was also aimed to socializing the local fruits to the Indonesian consumer community in order to reduce consumption of imported fruit, while at the same time encouraging the increasing agribusiness of Indonesian fruits. Minister Erlangga Hartarto added, the currently Indonesia's fruit trade balance is still a deficit of 19.1 trillion rupiah. The deficit was mainly influenced by import of 4 types of fruits, namely grape, apple, orange, and pear, with a total import value of 16.7 trillion rupiah. Meanwhile, the types of fruits that contribute large export are mangosteen, pineapple, banana, salad, and mango with a value of 986.1 billion rupiah. During the COVID-19 pandemic, fruit imports in the first quarter of 2020 decreased by 14.5 thousand tons or 45% compared to import in the previous month. However, from the production, the local fruit has increased on the average production trend in the last 4 years by 10.12%. He emphasized that the increase of local fruit production has also boosted export opportunities, given that the demand for the local fruits has also increased since the COVID-19 pandemic, especially the fruits that can increase body immunity and provide health benefits. On the same occasion, the Minister of Agriculture, Syahrul Yassin Limpo, emphasized that his ministry would strengthen the cultivation of tropical fruit varieties, considering that the production of these commodities has good quality and also can increase the rate of agricultural export as well. Meanwhile, Minister of Trade Agus Suparmanto assessed that horticultural commodities, especially fruits, have great potential to increase the country's foreign exchange. The trade minister added that one of Indonesia's tropical fruits that has potential and continue to be developed is dragon fruit. Based on BPS data, dragon fruit export growth became one of the largest one in the January to March 2020 period, amounting to 234.35%. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Cahaya meminta tanpa arah sesat di jalan yang terang. terledak di buai pelukan dosa. Ingin pulang membalut luka hatimu. Ku pun tahu betapa pedih batinmu. Atau jatuhkan hukuman. Andai maaf pun tak kau berikan. Air mata terus jatuh di sudut bibirmu. Tak terlintas dendam di bening mata indah. Aku yang merasa sangat berdosa padamu. Masih pantaskah mendampingimu? Biarlah bulan bicara sendiri. Biarlah bintang kan menjadi saksi.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce you Ketek Ogleng Dance from East Java. Ketek Ogleng Dance is one of traditional dances from East Java. This dance comes from the Javanese language that means ketek or monkey. Meanwhile, the word ogleng is taken from the sound behind the dance. Based on the name, the dance movement follows the behavior of monkey. At the show, the Ketek Ogleng dance is performed by four dancers, namely three female dancers and a male dancer who plays the role of a monkey man. The performance of Ketek Ogleng dance begins with the entry of the three female dancers on the stage. two of the three women act as maidservants, and the rest is a female dancer as the daughter of Dewi Sekartaji, the princess of the kingdom of Jenggala Sidoarjo. While the male dancer acts as Raden Panji Asmorobangun, who comes from the Daha Kediri kingdom. This dance movement narrates about the story of Raden Asmorobangun and Dewi Sekartaji, who fall in love with each other. They have a dream to build a harmonious family life. Ketek Ogling Art is a folk art coming from Tokawi Village, Nawangan Sub-District, Pacitan Regency in East Java. The art of Ketek Ogling was created by Pak Sutiman at the end of 1962 and has been preserved by the people of East Java up to now. The Ketek Ogling dance is usually performed during celebration events such as wedding, circumcision, and ritual events welcoming the birth of a baby. Now the dance is also performed to welcome important guests. The Ketek Ogling dance is accompanied by Javanese gamelan instruments, traditional percussion instruments, and sinden vocal. The listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Ketek Ogling Dance. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Cintaku, kau nodai cinta yang ku beri. Inikah caramu membalas sayangku? Kau lukai sayangku untukmu. Teganya kau menari di atas tangisanku. Kau permainkanku sesuka hatimu. Sudah, cukup sudah. Cukup sampai di sini saja. Daripada hati gelisah, cintaku kau balas dengan dusta. Sudah cukup sudah. Cukup sampai di sini saja. Daripada batin tersiksa, lebih baik ku pergi saja. Ku coba mengalah, ternyata sabarku tak berarti untukmu. Tegaknya kau menari di atas tangisanku. Kau permainkanku sesuka hatimu. Sudah cukup sudah. Cukup sampai di sini saja. Daripada hati gelisah, cintaku kau balas dengan dusta. Sudah cukup sudah. Cukup sampai di sini saja. Daripada batin tersiksa, lebih baik ku pergi saja. Tangisanku, kau permainkanku sesuka hatimu.
sudah cukup sampai di sini saja. Daripada batin tersiksa, lebih baik ku pergi saja. Sampai di sini saja, daripada hati gelisah, cintaku kau balas dengan dusta. Sudah cukup, cukup sudah, cukup sampai di sini saja, daripada batin tersiksa.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we are going to inform you about the Indonesian Armed Forces developing bullet-resistant airless car tires. Stay tuned. In general, tires in motor vehicles need air, but with technological sophistication, many companies are trying to develop airless tire technology. But the Army's Polytechnic of the Doctrine, Education and Training Guidance of the Indonesian Armed Forces creates airless tires. The innovation is a new idea for the national automotive world. This tire has one advantage. It is leak-proof, whether it is pierced by nails or fired by a bullet. Brigadier General Nugraha Gumilar, commander of the Army's Polytechnic, explained that currently the airless tires are in the quality improvement stage. Afterward, if the research and development results have been conducted and the airless tires are ready for use without further testing, the tires will be mass produced. The airless tires created by Indonesian military have hollows without any air in them. To secure this tire to the axle, 5 bolts are used on the rim of the car. The tires can easily pass through various tested terrains such as flat roads, rocky roads, roads and even row of nails. The tires remain in their original position and do not experience a lack of pressure or deflated. In the future, the tires will be used on Indonesian military vehicles while on the battlefield. Brigadier General Nugraha Gumilar further stated that the manufacturer of the airless tires was inspired by international tire manufacturers Michelin. This is a French tire company which is known to have been developing airless tires for private car use since several years ago. By making it domestically, Nugraha emphasized that the community would not depend on foreign products leather. This will reduce the need for imported air-free tires because they are in Indonesia. He believed that the quality of automotive components made by the Army's Polytechnic students will not be inferior to foreign companies. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in our segment today, Music Corner, we are going to present you a song from Mandar, West Sulawesi, entitled Tenggang Tenggang Lopi. The song tells about a skipper who is sailing in a swinging boat over the sea. The song is a classical one of Mandar, which is well known. The song is often sung to represent the Mandar tribe. Like some other classical songs, the composer of Tenggang Tenggang Lopi is also unknown. However, young generation of Mandar do love their traditional songs. This song makes a young man, Ivan Swadi, rearrange the song into a pop genre that is called EDM music, and ask for a beautiful girl, Putri Rizky, to sing the song together. Here is Putri Rizky with the song entitled Tenggang Tenggang Lopi. Enjoy the song.
Lopi na anak koda,
Indonesia. Indonesia.
Titik titik noda tertinggal di dalam dada, guratan hatiku masih ada. Terguris di mata, pahit ku rasakan. hari ini hati masih luka. Telah aku coba melupakan segalanya, namun titik terang tiada datang. Langit makin cerah, luka makin dalam. Hati ini hancur jadi debu. Hanya satu yang ku sayangi, tiada pengganti sampai saat ini. Hari-hari langit kelabu menutup hatiku, serasakan mati. Bukit kan ku daki, laut pun kan ku seberangi, agar dapat lupakan dirimu. Namun apa daya, aku manusia, gagal menghapus kenangan lama. Hanya satu yang ku sayangi, tiada pengganti sampai saat ini. Hari-hari langit kelabu menutup hatiku, serasakan mati. Hanya satu yang ku sayangi, tiada pengganti sampai saat ini. Hari-hari langit kelabu menutup hatiku, serasakan mati. Serasakan mati.
I'm Sajjad Jadal Khan, Shahji Affair of Pakistan in Jakarta. On behalf of the people and the government of Pakistan and on my own behalf, it's a great pleasure for me to convey our warmest felicitations to blessed people of Indonesia on the occasion of 75th Independence Day of Indonesia. Pakistan and Indonesia enjoy deep-rooted, friendly and brotherly ties based on our shared history, culture and religious commonalities, as well as aspirations for global peace and stability. It's heartening to note that bilateral trade, people-to-people contact and government-to-government interaction between Pakistan and Indonesia is increasing progressively. I am positive that existing excellent ties between the two countries will be further strengthened in the years ahead.
Coba untuk menguatkan hati dari kamu yang belum juga kembali. Ada satu keyakinan yang membuatku bertahan. penantian ini kan terbayar pasti. Lihat aku sayang yang sudah berjuang menunggumu datang menjemputmu pulang. Ingat selalu sayang, hatiku kau genggam. Aku takkan pergi menunggu kamu di sini. Tetap di sini. Jika bukan kepadamu.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.